Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. The Watertown Municipal Utilities Board of Directors met this morning to talk about proposed rates for natural gas, electricity, and water for the coming year. Adam Karst is the utility's Director of Administration.
We recommend no changes to our electric rates and no changes to our natural gas rates, but we do recommend a 5% increase to our water rates. And that's following a study that we had conducted in 2016 by an outside consultant, and that was one of their recommendations.
Karst explains how much that 5% recommended increase would affect the bottom line of utility customers.
The average customer is going to see an increase of approximately $1.29, and that's based on the usage of 6,000 gallons a month. And that's what we typically see for a normal monthly user, water user. But however, you know, if you're using more than that 6,000 gallons a month, you're going to see more of an increase.
Karst says the city of Watertown draws most of its water from 9 wells at the Rawville well field. The rate recommendations will get a formal up or down vote at a meeting on November 26th, and whatever rates are approved take effect on January 1st. Utilities is also planning a major capital expenditure for 2020. Director of Operations Bert Magstead says the gas department will be adding an additional tap onto the Trans-Canada gas line about 5 miles south of Watertown. He says that will alleviate constraints to the natural gas system that Watertown has experienced on very cold days. That's a project that will cost about $4.5 million. The new tap is expected to be in service by October of 2020. A major donation announced Wednesday by the Watertown Area Community Foundation. They're granting $500,000 to the city of Watertown to develop a new downtown park. The decision to award the grant was unanimous by the foundation's board of directors. Here's board chairman Charlie Ewalt.
I think what made it so easy was the information that we had as far as the background in working to develop this park. This has been in process for a while. It's been talked about. It's been supported in the community through prior efforts such as the H2O2O survey, and it indicated that that's something the community wanted to see happen. And with the foundation, we're looking to support the community however we can, and so we saw this as being a vital part of the downtown area that we could support in a really nice way.
The park will be located on the north side of Camp Avenue between the offices of the Community Foundation and the Watertown Senior Center. South Dakota Game Fish and Parks, in conjunction with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, held a roadside compliance check this week. GF&P District Supervisor Tim McCurdy tells our newsroom it was set up on U.S. Highway 12 near Summit for a six-hour period on Monday.
We held it on Veterans Day because we figured the three-day weekend, we'd probably have a lot of people back and hunting in the area over in the James River Valley and stuff, because we do have pretty good numbers of waterfowl over here right now, and there's a lot more corn coming out, so we figured it's more hard to be kind of venturing over this way.
He says a total of 39 vehicles that passed through the checkpoint declared they had game or fish in their vehicle, and about half of those were found to be in violation of various gaming or fishing laws.
We did have about 20 violations of all those checks. You know, some of them were citations, some of them were warnings. So a lot of the violations range from, you know, plumage requirements for pheasants or ducks. We did have some over the limits, over possession limits on fish and on pheasants also. We did have a waterfowl stamp stuff, big game transportation requirements. A couple guys had issues with that.
McCurdy says these roadside compliance checks are similar to the sobriety checkpoints conducted by the Highway Patrol. They want them to serve as a deterrent for those thinking about breaking the rules.
So, yeah, we stop every vehicle, and that's the one thing we ask them, do you have any fish or game on board? And they tell us yes or no. If they say no, then we just let them go through. No questions asked. So, and then, yeah, the ones that do have them, you know, we run them through, check their license, and just checking to make sure that they're within the limits and doing everything right.
McCurdy says the checkpoint involved 18 to 20 officers with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and another dozen or so conservation officers with Game, Fish, and Parks. South Dakota voters may have a chance to decide on a couple of marijuana-related issues next November. Dave Owen, the president of the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry, says there are differences between the two.
One is more narrow. It deals with medical marijuana. The other one is broader, a constitutional amendment to make marijuana recreationally legal, to tax it with a 15% excise tax, orders the legislature to create rules for legalizing hemp, but doesn't legalize hemp in and of itself.
Owen, who is on his pre-legislative tour of chambers of commerce around the state, says attitudes about marijuana seem to be changing.
Baby boomers getting older is part of it, but a lot of states are just giving up the fight on marijuana. They're tired of paying the incarceration costs. It's not perceived as the evil that Reefer Madness, which is an old movie, kind of suggested. So I think we're more comfortable adding marijuana to our recreational choices. I don't think South Dakota's maybe ready for that step.
Owen says it'll take several weeks for the Secretary of State's office to decide if there are enough valid petition signatures to put either issue on the ballot. Owen will be in Watertown for his legislative preview on Monday, November 18th. He'll speak at 11 a.m. at the Elks Club. An interim South Dakota legislative committee studying illegal drugs decided more treatment options are needed, but they kept drug ingestion as a felony. Attorney General Jason Roundsburg told the committee that dropping ingestion to a misdemeanor would not slow the spread of drugs.
Well, again, I think we have to give our prosecutors and law enforcement more tools, not less. I don't think that you won't change behavior by going down to a misdemeanor. I think that a deterrence factor is needed, but I have also advocated many times, and I advocated in this summer study, for more treatment. I think that some of the failings of SB 70 is that there was no treatment options, and I think there should be.
Roundsburg says he wished legislators would pay as much attention to meth as they are to hemp. A Mission, South Dakota man has been identified as the person killed last weekend in a crash on Highway 212 in Dewey County. 61-year-old Roger Allen was driving a pickup that collided with a semi-truck pulling an empty grain trailer just west of the town of Ridgeview. Allen was partially ejected from the vehicle and died at the scene. A 16-year-old passenger in the truck was taken to a clinic in Eagle Butte with minor injuries. The semi-driver, a 45-year-old man from Emporia, Kansas, was not injured. Well, November is Adoption Awareness Month in South Dakota. Governor Kristi Noem says children cannot be successful unless they're supported by people who care about them.
I would like to encourage people to learn more about adoption. I would love it if those who have adopted would be willing to shoot a quick video on your phone, a 3 to 5 minute video telling your story, post it on social media, and talk about it so that it inspires other people that may have room in their home and in their hearts for a child, that they might become inspired to take that extra step to do that. If they use the hashtag SD Adoption Month, that would be awesome. That will kind of be something that we're focusing on pushing out. So hashtag SD Adoption Month would be great. And we'll be sharing those stories and encouraging other people to consider looking at adoption as well.
And the governor says that adoption has been a wonderful experience for her own family.
I'm extremely passionate about adoption. I have family members that have adopted. My brother's adopted 3 children. My sister's adopted 1. Other family members that have. I grew up with a foster brother as well.
Remember to get your news anytime on our homepage. Find us at gowatertown.net. That's what's happening today. From the newsroom, I'm Mike Tanner.